You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In late last year, AUT announced 230 redundancies, among a number of other cost-cutting measures, despite making a $12 million surplus in 2020 and 2021. The Employment Court has now ruled in favour of the Tertiary Education Union in their legal action against AUT. AUT has been fined for breaching their collective agreement with staff and will have to restart their redundancy process. So what does this mean now for affected staff? I asked TEU organiser Jill Jones. We started off our interview discussing why the TEU pursued legal action against AUT.
Back in September, AUT announced that because of COVID and declining student enrolment, it wanted to make 150 academic staff members redundant. That's a huge amount, obviously. A few weeks later, it then upped that number to 170. TEU didn't accept that the redundancies at AUT were necessary or justified, and right from the very beginning, back in September, we told them that the redundancies would harm their staff, would harm students, and would harm AUT's reputation. And we told our members that we would fight for their jobs, which we have done. AUT continued anyway. There were several problems with what AUT proposed, not least of which was the unnecessary response to a hopefully short-term financial problem. Then there was the problem of not getting enough information and not fronting up to allow staff to ask questions. But the biggest problem was they were trying to make people rather than positions redundant. And in carrying out the redundancies, AUT didn't abide by the collective agreement. So there's a process that had to be followed, and AUT didn't follow it. TEU then took the matter to the Employment Relations Authority, which ordered AUT to comply with the collective agreement, but AUT didn't. So we then went to the Employment Court, which was very recently, which also said that AUT hadn't abided the compliance order. The Employment Court fined AUT for failing to comply with the compliance order, and that was a significant warning, not just to AUT, but to other employers that you know you have to respect collective agreements. When they prescribe a process, that process must be followed. So that's the basic background what's happened to the decision of the Employment Court.
What was the outcome of this legal action?
So you see, the court said that you're going to have to go back and follow the collective agreement, and you're going to have to withdraw the notice of dismissal that you've given to the AUT academics. So AUT had given notice of dismissal to academic staff. And many of those are internationally respected scholars and some have made a huge contribution to New Zealand society. But those termination notices were due to take effect from the 1st of February. Those notices were now invalid. The court said that AUT has to go back, follow the collective agreement. It must identify positions, not people, who are potentially surplus. Then it must invite those people to apply for voluntary redundancy. And it's only then that they can issue termination notices. The termination notices contain 2 months' notice. So that's where we're at the moment. So no one's actually dismissed right now because the termination notices had to be withdrawn.
And what compensation would you like to see for these staff members who
they haven't left yet, and we would like AUT to withdraw these redundancies in their entirety because we don't believe that they were necessary in the first place. So that would be the actual best case scenario for our members because, you know, there's been a huge human cost in all of this. But we want to we want AUT to acknowledge what they've done wrong and apologise for the harm that they've caused to students and to staff. But the most important thing is we want them to withdraw this because we don't believe that the redundancies are necessary in the first place.
And you mentioned that AUT or the courts determined that AUT should identify positions and not people in their redundancy plan. There's been a bit of discussion about certain staff members saying that they felt like they had been targeted. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
So what they've done is they've gone through the staff and they've decided who hasn't done enough research or the type of research that they want and who hasn't done enough undergraduate teaching. And on the basis of that list, they've said that those people are redundant. Of course, that's completely unfair because a lot of those people, for instance, just to use one example, had been very heavily involved in postgraduate teaching. They didn't count that. And so if you hadn't got enough undergraduate teaching, really, you basically often lost your job through no fault of your own. And also the research was a real problem because they countered the COVID period as well, where, of course, a lot of people weren't able to do enough research. So that was grossly unfair and would, for many of them, sound a personal grievance, you know, for unfair treatment. But right, I don't want to get ahead to that yet because we're hoping, they've asked to meet with us, and we're hoping that they'll just withdraw the thing.
The impact on staff is quite clear, but can you tell me a bit about what the impact on students at AUT has been?
Oh, yeah, no, the impact on students has been huge. It's not a good situation for students. We've already seen the effect on postgraduate students because many lost their primary supervisor. Students have made it clear how they felt about that. I mean, there's the severing of the relationship, which can be devastating. And that's especially so when you're close to completion of, say, a PhD. So there was a petition signed by about 850 students, but some students have also talked in the media about losing their supervisors and what that will mean for them. But you know, I mean, talking about students and staff go hand in hand, that was devastating for staff as well, because you can imagine what it's like if you've been with a student up to a certain point in their dissertation, and then you as a supervisor have to leave. It's heartbreaking for the staff and it's heartbreaking for the students. But, you know, one thing that's really remarkable about AUT staff is their dedication to the students. So some of them were willing to work for lower pay just to see their students through. But it wasn't just postgraduate students that were affected. A lot of students have been concerned about whether their chosen courses will be offered at all this year, because AUT has lost so many staff already, whether it's through voluntary redundancy or they've just left. Some programs we know have been cancelled. Hey, just recently I was reading about a student who said she felt like the rug had been pulled out from under her after her course for next year was cancelled at a week's notice. So that was the cancellation of the Master of English and New Media Studies, I think. She had to scramble about for a new place to study in this year. And that was in late December. So she said, according to the media article, that she got a sense of betrayal and also panic. She said she was offered no advice or support. So by the time she was notified that the course would be closed, applications were closed at the University of Auckland. And I really hope that she doesn't miss out on her studies for this year. AUT really shouldn't put people in that sort of position. It's not fair. It looks now as if it's there's going to be short staffing in some areas and that they're going to try to make that up by using casualised hourly paid staff and teaching assistants, which, as you know, is very far from ideal. I found out this morning that they were advertising in social sciences and public policy for this, so it's insecure work, which is good for neither the staff nor the students.
What message do you think this recent outcome and also the damage to university's reputation has sent to universities across the country?
I think it sends a message. Well, first of all, I do believe that there has been great damage to the university's reputation, but I also think that it sends a message to all employers, and not just university employers, that collective agreements have to be respected. You can't reach a collective agreement with impunity. You know, staff are very angry about the way they've been treated by AUT. But it does seem that message that, yes, you need to do these things properly, because after all, it's people's lives that you're dealing with, you know. But I have to tell you, our members see it as a victory, not only for the union, but also for the collective agreement. They now won't be dismissed on the 1st of February, and it gives them some breathing space. But, you know, we postgraduate students are close to completion. Hopefully the supervisor will still be around for a while, but there's no guarantee of that. And I think our members have got a kind of a sense that justice has been done to some degree, because the legal system hasn't let AUT get away with breaching the collective agreement. And like I said, that's a really important message for all employers. You can't get away with breaching the collective agreement. So our members are pleased about that. But nothing really, I guess, compensates for the anxiety and the disappointment and the hurt and the stress that AUT has put them through. You know, they're really pleased that the judgment sends a message that you can't reach a collective agreement with impunity, but they understandably are still angry. You know, I mean, these are people who've been loyal to AUT for more than 20 years. And a lot of them are leaders in their field, both nationally and internationally, and held in very high esteem by both undergraduate and postgraduate students. And there's a human cost that you can't pay by just offering people a couple of counselling sessions. And all of this distress could have been avoided if AUT, or a large amount of this distress, could have been avoided if AUT had just followed the collective agreement in the first place.
And just lastly, can you give us any insight into the TEU's plans heading into this year for addressing staff's concerns at universities across Aotearoa?
Yes, so we will be meeting with our members on Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, on Friday. And the message that we'll be giving to them is carry on per normal, all right? Obviously, they already feel that they've been vindicated to some extent. But the message I'll give to people is join your union, because we will fight for you. We've fought for these members of AUT, and we will go on fighting for them, because AUT now wants to meet with us, and they say they want to discuss a way forward. We've written to the Vice-Chancellor, and we said, yeah, we can meet with you, but in our view, the plan dismissals are neither necessary nor appropriate. If they want to continue down the path they've chosen, we'll challenge the criteria on which they want to select people for redundancy. So we will go on fighting for our members' jobs. So my message to people working in tertiary institutions, whether they're lecturers or allied staff, is to join your union. It's important. We will fight.
That was Tertiary Education Union organiser Jill Jones on the outcome of their legal action against AUT.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.